Years ago, I lived in a particularly walkable neighborhood. I tended to take the same side street down to the main drag, and I would often happen by a car with a bumper sticker that proclaimed, "Don't believe everything you think." That's a little weird. And when I was passing it, I would always keep my eye out for the owner because I wanted to see what a person who didn't believe all their thoughts would look like. I walked that street on and off for almost 8 years, and I never caught a glimpse of that mystery driver. But I thought about it a lot, and I've come to understand that the bumper sticker expresses an important truth. Not all of our thoughts ought to be deeply planted within our souls, because not everything that crosses a person's mind is going to help them soar to happy and productive heights. Even something as trivial as a fashion choice can seem pretty idiotic quickly, right? Am I alone in that? But there are more serious implications as well. When Rob Portman, the Republican senator and firm opposer of same-sex marriage, learned that his son was gay, it caused him to ask new questions, to seek new answers, and to rethink his position. Recently, he came out publicly for marriage equality, proving himself an excellent example that you can't always believe everything you think. So what do we do with our thoughts? Where do we go with our questions and our inquisitive nature? One of the purposes of religion is to respond to the human impulse to seek, to try and make sense of it all. How religions handle this varies greatly. Fundamentalists tend to inhabit a world marked by certainty. Now, when I say fundamentalist, I want to be clear that I'm talking about fundamentalists of all religions. And I would even put secular fundamentalists in this category, because those who are overly rigid in their atheism share the characteristics I'm talking about. People with this worldview weigh the ambiguity that comes with questioning and decide that it's not worth it. A question that penetrates too deeply could collapse everything, like that moment in a game of Jenga when you realize a second too late that you foolishly grabbed a block too instrumental to the whole structure, and now the tower is crashing around you while everyone groans. This is probably why Senator Portman's attackers lay the blame for his pro-gay stance solidly at the feet of a gay-positive movement that encourages people to explore their sexuality while seeking more equality in society. New thoughts raised by identity exploration put us on too slippery a slope, say the detractors. Because once you question something fundamental, in this case, marriage as a solely heterosexual institution, all hell will break loose and there will be no standards about anything. That's how we get to the concern that pretty soon our pet cats will want to marry wild parakeets, and then we have to think of the children. Anti-gay activists are right about one thing. Questions are powerful. They can be dangerous. Unitarian Universalists approach life's questions differently. Our way is not unique to us, but it's one of our strengths. We tend to invite the big questions in, to welcome them. Just make them a cup of tea and enjoy their company. Our theology teaches that our thoughts and questions are valuable spiritual resources, and that we must greet them with hospitality. Truth is not received passively. It's sought. Knowledge is a process of sifting. seeking can bring us tremendous gifts of self-awareness. But an unthoughtful kind of seeking can have the same drawbacks as too little questing. Questions can provoke insecurity in us, too, not just in the fundamentalists, by stirring up too much anxiety to be able to focus on the types of questions that give us clarity and confidence. To concentrate too singularly on questions at the expense of being able to find any answers is short-sighted. It gives too much power to whatever happens to be right in front of us at any given moment. Take, for example, the media coverage in the recent case of two Ohio boys who raped an unconscious, drunk girl as others watched and then posted photos and video footage of this crime online. CNN journalists took to the airwaves and bemoaned the inconvenience of conviction to the perpetrators without even bothering to consider the victim. If we are equally open to any and every idea, imagine the consequences in this situation. We wouldn't be able to connect what we already know, info we've previously learned or past life experience, about how devastating rape is for those who are raped, and that only 3% of rapists ever spend one day in jail. So then we would change the channel, accepting that, yeah, rape must be hardest on the guilty. It is, of course, always important to have compassion for perpetrators. We just need to be sure that we have enough context to inquire skeptically, instead of grasping haphazardly, like a soap opera character with amnesia, who is essentially a blank slate, knowing nothing and bringing nothing to any interaction. Extreme seeking, with no sense of rootedness, is the domain of scared people who will gratefully accept any shred of truth within reach, no matter how partial, manipulated, or convoluted. Instead, our goal should be to build thoughtfully on earlier discovered truths, which is what our fourth Unitarian Universalist principle calls us to do when it talks about valuing a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. So how do we know if our seeking is destructive in the sense that it doesn't help us get clear about what matters, or constructive, meaning creative, nurturing? One clue that can be helpful is to pay attention to whether or not our questing gives us confidence, by which I don't mean know-it-all arrogance. Let me say a little bit more about that, because confidence is an under-examined liberal religious value. Confidence-seeking means believing that where we're going is worthwhile, even if the route or destination hasn't been fully revealed. A mature quester is interested in arriving at some answers, even if they don't know what shape they will take or if they will remain with them permanently. Unitarian Universalism encourages curiosity not just for the sake of hearing one's own voice pose a question, but in order to pursue greater wisdom and knowledge. We need to do ourselves justice with the kinds of questions we ask. This transforms the act of seeking from aimless movement to a truly religious endeavor in the best sense, which is to follow questions that help us uncover answers that launch us into bigger and more complex questions. The point of this higher level of seeking is to make meanings that are increasingly expansive and inclusive, meanings that help us be happier and more useful in the world. This gets at my heart This gets at the heart of my critique of the fundamentalist perspective. A worldview of embracing total certainty demands that we find, or often that we are told, a truth. This is truth with a capital T. And that being satisfied with that truth means that we cease any practice of inquiry so that we don't topple that Jenga tower. My objection to this framework is that seeking and finding are not actually polar opposites, diametrically opposed to one another. They are two practices that enhance each other immensely. Doug, Chester's friend, knew about this. Our readings today explore how seeking and finding can happen within a relationship. In the case of Doug and Chester's friendship, the seeking led to a marvelous finding, but the finding didn't end there. It prompted a return to seeking. Their friendship gave them something solid in which they could believe, their mutual connection of heart and mind, and their commitment to each other. That's an answer. But it also sent them back out into the world to share with the other their own answers about life and to seek the wisdom offered in turn by their new friend. In the poem honoring Chester, Doug wrote about both seeking and finding. In this instance, the longing for and then realizing a cherished friendship. And then he says, a third light did appear. What is that third light that appeared in the uniting of quest and discovery? For me, and I think in Unitarian Universalism, the third light symbolizes the living tradition. We seek because there is wisdom waiting for us to realize it, because that's what you do when you are alive. That's what your tradition does, too, if it's alive. Liberal religion, including Unitarian Universalism, often describes itself as a living tradition, which means that we believe that truth and meaning is something we all contribute to making together, and that spiritual growth is an ongoing process that honors the ancient while it pushes for the new. Simply put, it just means that we value both the questions and the answers. A living tradition has two main features, both of which are about aliveness. The first is that our deeply held beliefs can and should change. As science or increasing cultural competency reveals truths that are new to us in our particular location, we work to incorporate them. They strengthen what we believe, making us more relevant in a dynamic world. Evidence of dinosaurs, for example, makes the literal claims of the biblical creation story a little hard to swallow. But instead of boycotting the Museum of Natural History, we should go and we should gaze up at those reassembled skeletons and ask what they teach us about great, important mysteries. And we shouldn't necessarily discard the ancient narrative either. Its metaphorical quality could still help us understand evolution because, after all, it's a story about change and increasing diversity. The other characteristic of a living tradition is the understanding that knowledge is more important than memorizing one static question and the one static answer that accompanies it. While we all share some basic human longings and musings, unique questions beckon each of us. I might find comfort and challenge in a different answer than the one that comforts and challenges you. A living tradition moves us into new questions and answers and asks that we respect the ways that others' seeking can move differently than our own. For both of these reasons, we sometimes call ourselves a faith movement. Living means moving. Seeking is about movement. But so is finding. My experiences have taught me to appreciate answers. Not rigid answers that are poured into concrete and then left to harden. I don't worry about not having absolutely certain answers, because inflexible beliefs tend to crumble soonest and most devastatingly. I embrace answers that will move with me, such as, not everything I think is going to be right. Confidence grounded in flexibility is helpful. Rape hurts everyone, and we need accountability when that happens. A last one. Meaningful answers include my truth, but also express multiple voices. These answers are sturdy enough to guide me, but big enough to contain my questions and even to spawn other levels of inquiry. Finding something worth believing in doesn't mean you turn off your mind. It means you found a piece of knowledge so compelling that you are inspired and equipped to get back out into the world with it. Unitarian Universalism is a faith primarily made up of come-inners, people who find the tradition and join. And so people occasionally ask me, someone who inherited Unitarian Universalism, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to stick around, people ask me why I stayed. The reason I stay is because this is a living tradition, and being in it helps me feel alive. Unitarian Universalism keeps holding me in love and scaring me with growth opportunities and always pushing me toward my own future. Why would I want to leave? Here, I am rooted in a theology that allows, and I would say even demands, evolution, just as our world is always changing. Being part of a living tradition means finding answers that guide us, but it also means being confident enough to keep those answers pliable and ever-growing. All of this is to say that our living tradition is strong and hardy enough to be used daily. Unlike the fancy china saved for special occasions because it might shatter, living traditions need not be protected as fragile and brittle. They are best realized when we throw open the doors of our hearts and our meeting houses, and we wrestle our questions and answers to the ground, testing our beliefs against what we encounter, and then remembering to hold tightly to the lessons we've learned. Evolution is a marker of longevity. This kind of wrestling is an intentional act of grounding, of rooting down to a solid core. Have the confidence to let our living tradition ground you. Its roots are deep and its branches wide. The way to make sure our living tradition doesn't get stale, the way to make sure that it really lives up to its name, because an alive tradition is on the move, is to be constantly balancing the questions of life and their many answers. This is a practice of both rooting and soaring. This is why I love our opening hymn today, Spirit of Life, which is sung every week at my home church, First Unitarian in Portland, Oregon. Roots hold me close, wings set me free. From this balance, the spirit of life comes to us. There are many songs in our hymnal that praise the virtues of seeking, of questing, and questioning. And I love that about our tradition. We are set free by our curiosity, and that is certainly something to sing about. But there are very few hymns that address the opposite, like the relief of arriving at a sweet answer. There are almost no songs that lift up the process of finding and staying faithful to a marvelous piece of truth that sets you free again and again. And I think that's an oversight, because the answers we discover give us freedom just as much as the questions. At a basic human level, it is important to believe in something. Of course, what we believe should be good. It should be creative and life-generating. But just the simple fact, and is it ever really simple, of believing in something ushers in the joys and challenges of being committed to ourselves and to our world and to all forms of life. I personally strive to know my beliefs intimately, and I have found some humble answers. I believe in human holiness and in God, in possibility and transformation, and I believe that our world is both lovely and aching. These are personal truths. They're truths with a lowercase t, and I can claim them only as mine. But they are truth nonetheless. Yet the questions are precious too, and so I have to remember to remain open to my beliefs and truths shifting and deepening as I continue to seek. If we aren't supposed to believe everything we think, then what? The medical doctor, Rachel Naomi Remen, who is also a well-known spiritual writer and philosopher, has some advice for us. The secret of life is not in having all the answers, she says, but in asking unanswerable questions in good company. May our questions hold us close, and may the good company of one another and the company provided by our living tradition be our wings. To seek is to find, but true finding has us always seeking. May our deep roots always set us free.